Thank you, Don. My elder. It is nice to be here. I caught the sermon this morning on the internet. I had some finishing up to do on the sermon that I had, and I wanted to make sure that I had it clear in my mind what it is that I was going to speak about this evening. So I hope that you'll forgive me for not being here, because tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness. In Genesis, it talks of Joseph, and Joseph of the coat of many colors, and and that he was taken to Egypt. But I was pondering what it is I might bring this evening and what it is the Lord might have for me to bring forth. Actually, the thought started a couple weeks ago. There was a discussion that started online, and we had some very good input into it, and it was concerning forgiveness. But Joseph dreamed dreams that he'd reign over his brothers, and that his father and mother and brothers would bow before him. He had a couple of these dreams, and Joseph's brothers were filled with jealousy, and they hated him because their father loved him more than he did the others. And I'm going to start in Genesis, the 37th chapter. And I'll start at verse 18, but first, I'm hoping that everybody remembers what happened to Joseph, what his brothers did to him. They hated him. They didn't like him. So they transpired that they would kill him. Genesis 37:18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it into Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then they were passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And while Joseph was in Egypt, many things happened to him, many harsh things, lies were told about him. But he was true to his God. And because of that, over a period of time, he gained trust with the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh put him into a high place, and he was over all the food that they had collected because he had had a dream that a famine was coming upon the land. When a famine came upon the land, his brothers and father came to him and were asking for food. And if you turn to the 50th chapter of Genesis, Genesis 50 and 15, And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father commanded before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray ye, now the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now, we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also wept, and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I don't know about you, but I had two older brothers. One was a protector and one was a tormentor. And then when I was thinking of Joseph and his brothers and all the things that his brothers did to him, if it were me, I would probably find it very hard to forgive them. But yet Joseph, in verse 19, said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? He forgave them. And then I think, would we be able to do the same thing? Would I be able to do the same thing? I would like to think I would. But then again, I know that sometimes forgiveness isn't easy. Let's go to the Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon, page 220. It'll be the second chapter of Mosiah. I'm just going to read one verse. It's verse 16. Because I was thinking of verse 19, what Joseph said to his brethren, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? And in verse 16 in the second chapter of Mosiah, it says, And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. God is the great forgiver. And Joseph didn't want to put himself in the place of God. Yet he forgave his brothers. He took care of them. But in sincerity of heart, we're supposed to ask for forgiveness of our sins. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Mosiah on page 283. Alma was over the church. He'd established the church. But he had a fear of judging the people. So he took him to the king, Mosiah. And in verse 119, But King Mosiah saith unto Alma, Behold, I judge them not, therefore I deliver them into thy hands to be judged. And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord what he should do concerning this matter, for he feared that he should do wrong in the sight of God. And it came to pass that after Alma had poured out his whole soul, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Blessed art thou, Alma, and blessed are they which were baptized in the waters of Mormon. I wanted to set up that this is the voice of the Lord that's speaking to Alma. And if you'll go over to verse 137, the Lord's still speaking to Alma, and he says, Therefore I say unto you, Go, and whosoever transgresseth against me, him shall ye judge according to the sins which he hath committed. And if he confess his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in the sincerity of his heart, him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. Yea, and as oft as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses, for verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he saith that he repenteth, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. It's a commandment that we are to repent and ask forgiveness of our sins of God. But it's also a commandment that we are to forgive one another. It says here, when they ask, when he saith he repenteth, we're to forgive him. But yet, we should have already forgave them. And I know that there are atrocities that happen in life. There are abuses that happen to people. There are terrible things that we do to each other. Not only physical hurts, but there are also hurts with our words that I think sometimes cut deeper than maybe a sword. And we carry hurts for many years sometimes without properly putting them in their place. And it's a sore that festers and actually brings us down. Because I don't want to bring condemnation on myself. I've got a few other scriptures to rehearse to you. They're nothing new. It's kind of a walk through some of the three of the Gospels. I'm going to start in Matthew. Matthew, the 6th chapter. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And this is just after an example of how we should pray that Jesus had explained to us. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. And shortly after that, the next verse is, "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." To me, it's a serious matter. One that we know, but I felt compelled to rehearse it, mostly for myself, but I figure if it's for me, I'm not the only one. Because I've carried some things for years, not so much that people in this church has ever done to me, because particularly I can't think of any that I haven't either went to and talked to them about some matter, or ask for forgiveness because I have offended somebody. But things that I have carried that happened in high school. I woke up one night and I was thinking, why do I let this still bother me? It was something that trivial. Something that a way a coach had treated me and some things that were said to me that he probably had no idea how hurtful they were. So I asked the Lord to just help me to put that away and to forgive this guy. He was already dead, so I couldn't go talk to him. I wouldn't have known how to have found him either. And ever since I did that, it doesn't bother me. And it's a wonderful thing. Because I hate being haunted with those type deals. And we're talking 15 years. The 18th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 18:15. I think these are steps that you need to take with those that have trespassed against you or have offended you. I was talking to a young brother yesterday on the phone, as a matter of fact, and I didn't quote these scriptures, but we talked about this very thing that I'm getting ready to read about. Because mainly he had voiced a concern that he was tired of being a referee. And the people that were offended or were offending each other, they needed to deal with it themselves. So we talked about this a little bit. It was a very good conversation. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. It didn't say if somebody had offended you that you go talk to everybody in the church about it first. You don't put it out on Facebook for all your friends to see. It says that you go to them first. Because it may have very well been a misunderstanding most of the time, I would hope. Whenever I've had to do this, I feel like that I have gained a brother or a sister. Even if I was the one doing the offending, when my conscience bore down on me, I would either seek them out or make that phone call. It's not easy eating crow, it's tough. I don't know if you can boil it enough. But it's something that has to be done. Lots of times they weren't offended. It was more my conscience. But I felt like I had, so I would try to straighten it out. One thing is we never know when our time's up. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. It's not to take them to go beat up the person. It's to take them to be witnesses that you've tried to work things out. You've tried your best. Hopefully you've taken it to the Lord in prayer first. Hopefully it's two people that are trusted by both parties. That maybe they might be mediators between the two of you. Because some matters are hard to settle. Because of the way we are. But if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Hopefully it never makes it to that step. But these are the steps that are set forth in the scriptures. Hopefully it will stop at verse 15. Where you go one on one. That would be the best turnout. The best resolution. I want to jump down to verse 21. In the same chapter, Matthew 18. Then came Peter unto him, saying, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yeah, after seven times, then I can let him have it. But it was a question, it was a legitimate question. But Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. A lot of numbers there, but as many times as it takes. And then it goes into a parable. And then during this online discussion that we were having, I was taking in all the things that people were saying, and I was one morning, I'm best in the morning, at night I'm not so good. I was praying, and about the matter, because some people had some questions that I was having a little bit of trouble getting a grasp or wrapping my mind around what they were saying and what they were getting at. And this is what the Lord brought to me to read. And the Lord says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. House repossessions, they were actually going to be sold. But the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt." That'd be nice if the banks would do that, wouldn't it? Nah, that's not going to happen. But he had compassion upon him. Same way we're supposed to have compassion on one another. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw this, what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, and as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." I found that was very rough. It was hard for me to take. Because I very well could have been that servant that took the fellow by the throat and said, "You owe me." I hope I'm not that way. But sometimes I'm a little bit thick-headed. And I may not have learned from the example that was set earlier in this parable. But what hit me strongest was the 35th verse. Because if we don't do it from our hearts, it's worthless. We can go to somebody and tell them we're sorry. When you were little, and maybe you had hit a neighbor kid because he did something wrong, or you were jealous and you give him a little smack or whatever, and your parents told you to go tell him you're sorry. Did it come from your heart? Mine didn't. I was a little bit, I don't know the word I'm looking for, rebellious, I suppose. It was more like, "I'm sorry, but you deserved it." No, that's not how we're supposed to be. But yet we need to teach our kids to do that. We need to teach them that it needs to come from the heart. And we need to forgive each and every one of us. The Lord's forgiven us many things. He's forgiven me so many things I couldn't number them. And from looking at the clock, maybe I ought to rehearse them. because we're going to get out of here early. But that's all right, I won't, because that's the old Mark, and I don't want him to creep back in. But he forgave me a lot, and I'm very thankful. My wife has forgiven me much, and for that I'm very thankful. Well, let's go to the Gospel of Mark. The 11th chapter. Verse 24. Jesus, again speaking, says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." We need to pray that we could be able to forgive others. It's not natural for me to forgive. It's becoming easier to ask for forgiveness. I hate to say it, but I've had to practice it a lot. Because I bumble through life, I don't filter the words that come out of my mouth at times. And a lot of times my mind is not set where it should be when I speak, when I talk to people. Frustrations come out. Things that may have happened during the day that have frustrated me, they come out in a way that's not fitting for a Christian. And I have to be watchful. And with that watchfulness, I have to pray. But it says that we're to forgive when we're praying. I've heard it said that if you'll pray for those that persecute you, it makes it easier to forgive them. I believe that. I've tried it. It's worked for me. I don't know as too many people have really persecuted me. But there are people that I have troubles with. And I pray for them. And I pray for myself and them. And I pray that he would help me to truly forgive people from my heart. I forget a lot of times because I get caught up in myself. Let's go to Luke 17th chapter. First four verses. And it's Jesus speaking again. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, I don't think the rebuke here means that you go up to him and say, "You offended me, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I rebuke you." No, I don't. It's as I talked before, it's the going to them one-on-one. They may not have even been an intent to offend. It may have just been taken the wrong way. But offenses will come. Hopefully none of us are the person that does the offending. But it happens. It happens on accident. And it happens on purpose. But we need to take the steps to correct those matters. We need to try to keep our slate clean all the time. Because as I said earlier, you never know when your last minute here is. Recently, I know of a man who fell asleep in his chair, had a major heart attack, and never woke up. He didn't know he was going to go. I also know of a young man that went to shovel snow one day and had a brain aneurysm and died on the spot. He didn't know that was going to happen then. We don't know when our time's up, and we need to keep that slate as clean as possible each and every minute. Luke 23, as far as I'm concerned, this is the ultimate forgiveness. Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus has been through the trial. And he's been beat and scourged. And they were crucifying him. And all the things that the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of Israel of that day, and all the beatings that the Romans had done to him, and all the scourgings with whips and crucifying him and spitting on him. And yet, he could still say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then how many times is it that we don't know what we're doing? As I'd studied this a couple of weeks ago and was yet studying to see what the Lord wanted me to bring forth in what scriptures, because the scriptures are full of the topic of forgiveness. A lot of examples that I looked at. I thought the story of Joseph was fitting. And as I studied, it became very aware to me a couple of weeks ago that we don't have a choice in the matter. It's commanded of us to forgive. It's also commanded of us to ask the Father to forgive us. And in some of the discussions, the topic of trust came up also. I have had a few people ask me, recently and also things in the past, that because I forgive someone, do I have to trust them? Well, I'd have to say yes and no. Because when I did a word search on trust in the scriptures, And I didn't write any of them down because, as far as I'm concerned, they basically all pretty much say the same thing. So put your trust in the Lord. And don't put your trust in the arm of flesh. But I don't think it's exactly talking about trusting one another. But when I think about trust and forgiveness, I think they're two different topics, but they're wound into each other in some way. The Lord trusts us with different talents, and He wants us to make sure that we use those talents to His honor and glory. And we can definitely trust in the Lord, because He won't break that trust. But as I have thought upon it and prayed upon it, I've come to an understanding for me anyway. And if I'm wrong, I'm open to being set right. That we are definitely commanded to forgive someone. But I feel like if a trust has been broken, you have to gain that trust back. If I was commit adultery on Lana, if over time she may very well forgive me, but it would be very hard, I think, for her to trust me again, to be alone or to be real close friends with women, and vice versa. And that's an example that came to my mind. But there's also other trusts. I was reading where Jesus was talking about false prophets and wolves in our midst. And it said that we would know them by their fruits. And I think we can apply that to trust also. Is you have to have those fruits of trust shown to individuals before they might be able to trust you again. Did it make sense? Nobody's nodding their head. Okay. We're commanded to forgive one another. Because it's a serious matter, because if we don't forgive one another, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. And that's what I have to bring to us this night. And thank you.